something. I'll tell you what we're going to do. This is the last night of poetry. Two short poems or one long one? Anybody wants to read? Two short poems. Don't make it as Hiawatha.
Okay, it's the end of the summer, but it's also a good time to remember people who have been with us, who are no longer with us. I'm going to read poems of two of Pittsburgh Poetry Society's members who have passed, Anita Byerly and Dorothy Holly. The first, Knowing the Way Home, by Anita Byerly. In the dream, I'm running, running, running swiftly like the night long ago when the air raid siren blew as I was leaving Lucy's house. I run, run through deserted streets where only here and there a narrow ribbon of light seeps from behind drawn shades. Heart pounding, I run across the bridge, past the meat market and barber shop, and become winded climbing Colmont, pain stitching my side. Crossing Earl, I stumble on bricks, but like a marathon runner, pick up steam on the level and head into the home stretch. At last, at the gate, I bound to the porch, pound on the door. My mother opens it a crack. Get in here. You shouldn't be out on the street. Today, I visit Cousin Elizabeth at the Alzheimer's home. She doesn't know me, but points out the window, cries. If I could only get to that corner, I know I can find my house. A Ballad of Grief, by Dorothy Holly. She was stirring the pot, making soup when he came in the door that day, with frown stretched across his face. He thought she would be away. Come, I've made your favorite meal, but he said, I'm not going to stay, as he slammed a check on the table and said, I'm not going to stay. He packed his suitcase and out the door without a word or shout. In shock, she turned the burner off, but the fire was already out. She knew not what to do. Tears could not express the hurt in her heart. Life now seemed cold, breathless. He packed his suitcase and out the door without a word or shout. In shock, she turned the burner off, but the fire was already out. The telephone rang. A friend who'd gone through the same, though 3 years passed, talking entirely of his blame, forgetting the one freshly hurting, or did she hear? This angered her to thinking, I'll not be like that. Not like that.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks again for always bringing the microphone or lending us it. Nancy Esther James.
Okay, well, I rent movies from Netflix, and when I saw one in the listing of foreign movies that was entitled Cherry Blossoms, naturally I thought it was Japanese. It turned out to be German with English subtitles. But the second half of the movie did take place in Japan. Main characters were a German family. An important element of the plot was a modern form of Japanese dance that is called Buto, that's spelled B-U-T-O-H, and in the Japanese part, with the part of the movie that's set in Japan, there is a minor character who is a young street performer, and in Tokyo, and the poem is about her. Dancing Bateau, from the film Cherry Blossoms. The young dancer in flowered kimono spreads fingers deliberately as the dawn, then curls them inward. Legs in white tights stretch out. Slippered feet point, slide, in steps old as kabuki, new as yesterday, first anniversary of her mother's death. She cradles a pink telephone receiver against her white painted face, tilts black rimmed eyes upward toward fleeting cherry blossoms. The long pink spiral cord attached to nothing else flows with her body, trails along the walk, wraps around trunks of trees. Her mother loved the telephone. Now she brings her mother to the city park every day, and in this dance, they talk. The young woman explains Bateau, all about shadowy shapes on sunlit pavement, forms of hands, arms, head atilt, all about those we've lost, loved, disappointed, those who loved, abandoned us. Their spirits become the shadows we carry within us, and there they remain. Every day we don their lives, their faces, dance, and cast new shadows. Thank you.
Joan, make sure we schedule Nancy, Esther James, and of course we already discussed Chris Telford for next year. Who's next?
Next is Jason Baldinger.
Jason, where are you at? Come on, buddy.
That's fine. I don't need any help. I'm a professional. This is a Florida poem. This is called These Days of Heaven. Here in the land of flowers, I'm on the heels of conquistadors, not looking for the fountain of youth, just looking for America. Out among the churches and forts older than the day I forgot my name, there are squirrels wrestling in royal palms. Occasional lizards fire across the trail. Heat lightning on the ground, armadillos on the radar range. Alligators gawked at by tourists who can only say the word here in English as they flash photos amazed in German, French, and Japanese. And I will never doubt mosquitoes again. I carry their blood, which is my blood, with me. Communion stories in a million welts rising across the Everglades, through the Shark Valley, into the Big Cypress, where at panther crossings I wait. Wait for reeds to move. Where are the big cats of our imagination? Where is the sky? I want to keep it in my pocket. In Bradenton, in a motel after 4 days camping, it's a typical night. The redneck princesses in high heels and jean shorts serve Cuban sandwiches and deli dives, and everyone drinks High Life on picnic benches outside. Across the street, there's a ball game. Prayers accompany the first pitch, the Star-Spangled Banner, the home team loss followed by fireworks, and I'm sitting on the hood of my car. Flashback and gunpowder burst to vasovagal visions of the Lady Florida in a dress of palm fronds and flowers. She says, "You found America. Now can you find your soul?" Part 2. Stephen Foster rings Carillion bells off-key. I stand before mansions counting fire ants, remembering ghosts in live oaks and the dead at a lusty. Part 3. It's only one of those days where nothing materializes. You just move, and you move, and you move. The windshield is forever and the love bugs are hitting like rain drop, drop, drop. If you stop in cemeteries, you can watch the turtles asleep on stones, look at the roadside, and you can see the turkey vultures. Too lazy, they barely turn up an occasional grub or ant.
These days are so sleepy and the windshield is forever. And you're always 20 miles from Tampa or 20 miles from Williston or 20 miles from Hernando, 20 miles from Archer, 20 miles from Gainesville, or 20 miles from the terminus of this forever road. There's nothing. Maybe a dusty bookshop, a diner, a Burger King where everybody is too bored to mention that they exist. These days the heat rises slow. The highway vanishes into the haze. Stare off forever through a windshield. These days of heaven. These days are heaven. Forever through a windshield.
Okay. Hi. My name is Saraf Chatterjee, and I was trying to spare her the complication of the name. So I'm reading for the first time ever on an open mic. All right. And thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a small poem that I wrote back in the winter of 2011. It's called If on a Winter's Night, the title being borrowed from Italo Calvino's famous novel by the same name. The snow fades like silence over my window panes. Empty roads drag along like winding arguments past suburbia fairy tales. White eternities remain and the indifference of strange lands. Once she sat by the fire, the lines of her aging face, sorrow in her deep lips, and the stains of wine, she moaned like thought. The snow fades like silence over my window panes. Christmas pines stare like strangers at a drunken loneliness. Images pass like monotony on glossy screens, our colored dreams. The warmth of naked bodies, of conversations, cold tears, they haunt me like passages from forgotten books. If on a winter's night her footsteps stain the white eternity, in silence I write. Thank you.
A rose is a rose. Come on up there by any other name again, Rosie Rose.
See, I have trouble with this microphone. Okay, I'll stand. I don't really write long poems. And maybe I just get tired of hearing myself talk. I don't know. But anyways, I just wrote this Sunday morning and does not have a title. So I will start. I bake in the silence of this long, thin night, sighing at the next morning, at my thoughts, the timing to each day. Through this dense, hardy fabric I've patched together, they rise up, intending to stain. These responsibilities that find a note to consume me becomes a device that so saves me. How tenderly it happens, in morsels that's rationed, in the battles of wars, the edges breed. Thank you.